Welcome back to Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. This week's show is mostly a themed show, the theme being citizen scientists and how the amateur collection of data, using our smartphones mostly, can help researchers find ways to not only avoid species extinctions, but to also empower a new generation of backyard biologists. We're about to return to our interview with journalist and author Mary Ellen Hannibal. She has recently published her new book, Citizen Scientist, Searching for Heroes and Hope in an Age of Extinction. But later in the show, we'll also speak with a researcher from Cornell University who is using citizen science and citizen data collection to help with a national study of trees.
I think of it as more of a conversation, and the technology that exists today lets us have that conversation between the scientific world and the world of the observers who are out there in the field.
First, here's author Mary Ellen Hannibal and part two of our chat about finding hope against extinction through the use of everyday data. Right now, we're kind of focused on the big data scrapes, the big data collection that we can do with these computers we have in our phones, very 21st century approach. As I was going through the book, though, Aristotle popped up, Leonardo popped up, Jefferson popped up. How are these citizen scientists that we have now beneficiaries of a legacy?
Well, we are very much paying forward a legacy of citizen scientists before us. And yes, Aristotle is a citizen scientist, so is Leonardo da Vinci. No formal education, no PhD, no institution they were working for. Charles Darwin was also a citizen scientist, no advanced degree, no institution. He worked for himself. And around Darwin's time, people started really collecting specimens of the natural world as amateurs. Sometimes we call them naturalists, but amateurs from Latin meaning to love, and people just did it for the love of it. But they were also super interested in trying to figure out how nature works.
Mm-hmm.
So today, you know, our natural history museums are filled with specimens collected by those people. And they become a benchmark for us now about what the natural world was like, what plants and animals lived where, and what their compositions were. Now when we go to those same places, we collect or make photo observations of the same or different plants and animals, and we can track change over time. And this, again, is something you don't need an advanced degree to do. And what's important about that, I think, is that your questions, your curiosity, your imagination, your engagement are super, super important, maybe more important than what the scientists are doing, because it's really where we're going to get together in local communities, making observations about what's happening in our local communities,
mm-hmm.
that we're going to then make the next step to safeguard the nature that we have around us.
Now, you mentioned also in the pre-interview that the book went a little bit longer than you had at first intended. And I'm hoping it went longer, and I'm glad that it did, by the way, but I'm hoping it went longer because you are finding hope.
There is hope. There's so many dimensions, actually. I think it went longer because I really wanted to include the citizen mapping dimension.
Right.
And that's Google Earth Outreach is really the leader in that. And then Esri also has something called Story Maps, where you can use, you collect data, and then you create a visualization on your computer. And this story mapping and Google Earth Outreach, they have a lot of social and environmental justice application. We have not begun to unpack their capacity. So one story about a Google Earth application was an architect who lived down in the San Luis Obispo area. He still lives there. And there was a quarry that's going to be built in their neighborhood. And as he tells the story, most of his neighbors are property rights folks. They're conservative.
Mm-hmm.
They're not liberal tree huggers whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And they were inclined to let the quarry build where they said, you know, they owned the property. But he was scratching his head about what that was going to do to his community. So he heard Rebecca Moore, who founded Google Earth Outreach, give a talk. And he went home and he learned how to use Google Earth Outreach. He stayed up all night. And then because he's an architect, so he took a visualization of the area where he lives. And then he made a SketchUp using this program called SketchUp of the proposed quarry. And he plopped it into the visualization of their area.
All right.
And then it showed the community what this would actually look like when it was built. And he also put in all the impacts from the trucks moving the gravel in and out. And this community, in about 2 seconds, said, "We don't want it," and they stopped it.
Interesting. So that's beyond hope. That's hope and change.
It's action.
All in one swoop.
What gives me hope is the capacity for action. And I've written about the natural world and science for a long time, and I've just always been kind of pulling out my hair that, you know, we say these things, mass extinction, habitat loss, but what do we do about it and what can we do about it? And the thing is, citizen science is a tool. It's free. And it's something we can do something with. And people are doing it.
Well, good. And let's hope we continue to do it. We're going to have all links to everything we can find on Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. Well, in the business world, they call it a low barrier to entry. And it's nice that there's a low barrier to entry with collecting this data and trying to find some hope and some change. And like you said, some action when it comes to the environment.
And it's really fun, I think.
I can't wait to do it with my daughter. I really can't.
That's great. I'm glad.
Mary Ellen, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Bye-bye. We've been speaking with journalist and author Mary Ellen Hannibal. She has recently published her new book, Citizen Scientist, Searching for Heroes and Hope in an Age of Extinction. We have a raft of links to the projects Ms. Hannibal mentioned during our extended interview on Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. There's also a link to this and any other segment of Techonomics at kgoradio.com/Techonomics.
Oh, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature.
Now, before you click on one or both of those pages I mentioned, here's a quick reminder of what we covered. The eBird database, which is great for your hyper-competitive and hyper-vigilant birders out there. The app out of Cal Berkeley that's called iNaturalist. And there's also the Google search for Nature's Notebook, the California Phrenology Project, and Google's own Earth Outreach Project. I told you there was a raft of data there. And speaking of rafts and marine life and me torturing that metaphor just a little bit longer, there is some hopeful news for the oceans when it comes to those plastic rings that hold six packs together.
People think that cutting the rings is enough. But birds and turtles eat the plastic either way.
That's why we decided to do something to protect marine life and also connect with our primary target, surfers, fishermen, and people who love the sea. Saltwater Brewery presents Edible Six-Pack Rings. A six-pack ring that feeds animals instead of killing them. We developed a material made of barley and wheat remnants from the brewing process that replaces plastic and also is edible for sea animals.
Besides being 100% biodegradable, compostable, and edible, it had to be strong enough to hold the weight and the typical handling of the cans.
We launched the edible six-pack rings and all kinds of points of purchase.
It's good beer. It's good for the ocean. I love these guys.
Craft Brewer Saltwater Brewery is in Delray Beach, Florida. Now, before we play the rest of Saltwater's YouTube ad, here are some more horrifying statistics. 80% of the plastic that humans throw away ends up in the oceans. That means billions of pounds of plastic are now swirling around the Earth's oceans and seas. In fact, 40% of Earth's total ocean mass is now covered by plastic. And now we have more marine marketing from Saltwater Brewery done the right way.
See, babe, you can enjoy your beer and save the environment.
This is the first time a 100% biodegradable and edible packaging is implemented in the beer industry. This innovative technology is as resistant and efficient as the plastic six-pack rings. If most craft breweries and big beer companies would implement this technology, the manufacturing cost would drop and be very competitive compared with the current plastic solution, saving hundreds of thousands of marine lives as a result.
It's a big investment for a small brewery created by fishermen, surfers, and people that love the sea.
We want to influence the big guys and kind of inspire them to also get on board.
Saltwater Brewery puts it really well on its company blog. Quote, for brands to be successful today, it is no longer about being the best in the world, but rather being the best for the world and take a real stance, end quote. Now, we're calling out Saltwater Brewery for their innovation, but there is no commercial interest here. Saltwater Brew is not an advertiser or a sponsor. They are calling out something huge, however. The marketplace drives industry decisions. And if consumers care about preserving oceans and limiting floating garbage, then production of these degradable and edible beverage holders can start to get to scale, which means low cost. And that means hopefully wind up on a shelf near one of us. For a link to the Seawater Brewery YouTube ad and more links on this and other marine maintenance issues, check out Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. Coming up after this short break, we are sticking with our citizen science theme. We'll check in with a Cornell scientist and researcher who is in the middle of a years-long study about the growth rate of trees on a national basis, and that's thanks to citizen scientists.
A mega drought in our work has been defined as a period of aridity lasting 35 years or longer.
This researcher and others are heartened by the idea that data can keep coming in from citizens armed with just smartphones, as well as the aim to help save Earth, its biology, and its ecology. More on that research coming up soon. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.